If a person commits a crime, there's a process, a system that you go through. If a person commits a crime and they're mentally ill, it's a different system, or at least it's supposed to be, for all the obvious reasons. The circumstances are more complicated. The suspect needs different attention and treatment. Now, here in Utah, it's a judge who makes the call. And if someone is ruled to be incapable of defending themselves in court because they're impaired by a mental illness, they're supposed to be sent to the state hospital in Provo. But what if there isn't space? Or what if there isn't enough staff or beds? What happens to this person then? Well, someone has to pick up the slack, and right now, in the state, it's jails. Jails that have little or no training to deal with these kinds of inmates. And to make it even more complicated, a mental hospital at capacity means less room for people who may be struggling but haven't been arrested yet. And if you treat these people, you could actually prevent them from committing a crime. This is More to Say. I'm Doug Fabrizio. KUER's Whitney Evans has been reporting on this story for the past few weeks, and she's with us now. And hi, Whitney.
Hi, Doug.
So what's the story really about? Is it just about money, or is there also some part of it that is the state not fully understanding how you manage people who are mentally ill and who may be inclined to commit a crime?
Well, I think the goal is to find ways to manage people with serious mental illnesses without necessarily just sending them off to the state hospital. And that's what the state's done over the past few years, is they've sort of tried to find alternatives to just placing people indefinitely in the state hospital.
Why? Because that's expensive and it takes up
space? One, it's expensive, and they feel like they might be better off in the community with their families. It might be a better way to manage someone's mental illness. And in the 1960s, we moved away from institutionalization.
Yeah.
So for decades, we've been moving away from simply warehousing people.
So run down the numbers for us. If a judge says this person is too mentally ill, what happens to them now? So you said there are other alternatives that they're trying, but they're also sending them to the hospital now. And part of what you're reporting is there's not enough space. There's not enough beds.
That's right. Okay. So what the state has done, take a step back. When the judge says you are too incompetent to stand trial, he's saying that you need to be restored to competency. That could either mean detoxing from whatever drugs you're currently on.
Yeah.
That could mean medication. That could mean therapy. That could mean a number of things. But with most people who a judge deems to be incompetent, there's some hope that they can be restored to competency so that they can defend themselves in court. So a judge says this person is incompetent. They can't stand trial. So the judge sends them to the state hospital. The state hospital's forensic unit, where these people would go to get treatment, is always full. The alternatives the state has come up with is that they've decided to separate people by the severity of their mental illness and say, if your mental illness can be treated fairly easily and quickly, we'll just keep you in a jail cell and we'll send a therapist out to you periodically to help restore you to competency. The second tier is if you're a little bit worse off, they might send you to the Salt Lake County Jail's new forensic unit, which they just built in the last couple of years. And it's essentially a jail, but it's a little bit more open. It looks a lot more like the state hospital. Hmm. People aren't locked in jail cells all day.
Yeah.
And the third tier is the forensic unit at the state hospital. That's for the sickest of the sick people.
Explain there's forensics and civil. What is really forensic? Seems like a euphemism. What does that mean?
It does seem like a euphemism, but it's people who are accused of committing a crime.
Okay.
We don't want to say criminal unit because
it's a more gentle term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the forensic unit and there's the civil unit. The forensic unit's for people who've been accused of committing a crime. They've been ordered there by a judge.
Yep.
The civil unit is for people who are having a really hard time in society, but maybe they've not yet committed a crime.
Right.
So your family can civilly commit you and you could be there indefinitely. So we've got these three tiers, these alternatives to the forensic unit. And the state says they seem to be working. In fact, they started using these alternatives back in 2015, 1 year before this issue became in the national spotlight, as the state was sued by the Disability Law Center for the wait times for people waiting to get treatment in jails.
So the state says it's working. Then what's the problem?
We're sort of butting up against these deadlines, and a lot is hinging on a really small number of beds to meeting these deadlines.
Okay, let's get into that, because this is some of the part of what you reported on. So you went down to the state hospital, and one of the things you mentioned in your piece is that you found there were beds, I think 24 beds, gathering dust.
There was an entire unit, completely empty.
All right, let's see what happens.
I walked in. No one's in there. Nothing's in there.
So none of this is in use right now?
Correct. Nor has it been for probably 5 years or so.
All the while, they are sending inmates who are accused of crimes, who are mentally ill, to jails to get treatment. There are still empty beds in the state hospital.
Absolutely. There are empty beds sitting at the state hospital, and the state has not funded these beds since about 2007. So they've been sitting empty that long.
So there are these beds, they're gathering dust. But that means what? That there's just not enough people to staff?
It's all about staffing.
Yeah, okay.
So the money that the state hospital asked for would pay for people to staff these units full time.
So if you happen to be one of those people who there's no space for, and you're deemed mentally incompetent, and so you are sent to jail, what's it like? Because this is not, is it like a jail? Are you with the regular community? What kind of treatment are you getting? I mean, what is it like for that person? There's no space for them. They're in jail. What did you learn about what it's like for this person?
Well, if you're sitting in jail, it's a lot different from being at the state hospital.
Yeah.
The state hospital, people are walking around. They're active. They're playing sports. They're taking classes. They're working at the canteen. They're interacting with each other. They're interacting with hospital staff. When you're in jail, you're sitting in a bare cell. You aren't getting regular services. You might be visited by someone from the state hospital, but you're being treated like any other inmate. And so whether you're, you know, like I said, the bottom tier, a person who's not so sick that they need to be at the state hospital, but sick enough that they have to get treatment to be restored to competency, you're sitting in jail like any other inmate.
And what effect does that have on someone who's mentally ill? Because this is part of the story. Some can't bear it, really.
I've been told it makes the problem worse.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people don't even understand completely why they're there.
Aaron Kinney-Kinney. I'm the legal director at the Disability Law Center.
And there have been instances of people committing suicide.
One, at least, committed suicide while waiting for treatment in one of the county jails here in Utah. And then the untold, deterioration that a lot of these really ill people face while they're in the county jail. You know, you can't quantify it with a body count, but, you know, I visited with them, and, you know, the attorneys on our side visited with them, and you would see them just go downhill, you know, because jails are not treatment facilities. Jails are not hospitals.
We'll be right back.
We want to take a moment to shout out The Good Line for supporting this podcast. If you're building a brand, these guys can help you with websites, film, design. They're all about finding and telling stories that bring together a full brand experience. Check out the new Radio West Films website to find out what that means, or you can see what else they do at thegoodline.com.
What's forensic creep?
Forensic creep is the idea that when the forensic beds get so full, we can start moving people over into the civil unit. Like I said, that's that unit where you're sent to that unit, you're sent to the civil unit. If you're having a really hard time, you might be a danger to yourself or others, but you've not committed a crime or been accused of committing a crime.
Yeah. So you're displacing people who are committed of a crime are displacing people who haven't yet, who are just getting treatment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a need for civil beds as well. So this has happened in other states where forensic beds have crept into the civil units and displaced people who could really use, who need to get into the civil unit to protect themselves and others.
So if the state is saying, look, we think this is working, is there any incentive to fix it? And what happened at the legislative session? I mean, there were some efforts to at least some talk about expanding state hospitals. What happened?
Well, the state hospital came to the legislature and the governor at the beginning of the session and said, we need $5.6 million to fully open this 24 unit that's sitting there collecting dust.
Yeah.
And that's going to solve a lot of problems for the time being moving into the near future. And the state said, well, we think you can do it with half. We think you can do it with half the money. And if it comes down to the wire and you really need that additional money, we'll give it to you a little later down the road. But just try and see if you can make this work.
With 12 beds.
With 12 beds instead of 24.
Hmm.
So right now, that's where we're at. I'm not quite sure when they're going to open those 12 beds, but in the near future, half that unit is going to be open. And the last I heard, there were 10 people waiting to get into the forensic unit. That changes on a regular basis.
Yeah. It's a moving target.
It is an absolute moving target. And one issue that hospital officials explained to me is that, you know, we don't know when we're going to have a surge, when we're going to have a huge population increase, when for one reason or another, judges are ordering mentally ill inmates left and right to be restored to competency. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, what happens when those 12 beds are up and the other 12 isn't open yet? Are we going to creep back into the civil unit? Are they going to wait in jail?
Yeah.
The state can get in a lot of trouble if they wait in jail.
Well, this is the thing I wanted to mention. This is, you mentioned, for example, a case in Maryland where a judge held state officials in contempt for not freeing up more space for people who are deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial. There's a lawsuit in Utah as well.
There is. The lawsuit, there's a settlement that came out of that lawsuit.
Yeah.
And as part of that settlement, the state's been ordered to cut down wait times significantly. By the 31st of this month, inmates will not be allowed to wait more than 60 days for treatment. Before, inmates were waiting months and months. And it was those Utah's wait times far surpassed any other states by a huge margin.
Utah's did. Because of that space issue?
Because of that space issue.
And now they can't wait more than 60 days.
By March 31st, they can't wait more than 60 days.
And then
that number, it decreases.
Yeah.
By 2019, it's a couple of weeks that they can wait.
So where we are right now, did you get a sense that there's some acknowledgement that this is a problem that needs to be fixed, that there needs to be a deeper understanding of something to do about this? Or is this just going to always be, at least for now, an issue of trying to find more money, trying to sort of make up for it? I mean, what's your final sense of it, at least where it stands now?
When I talked to the governor's office said recognized that this was a problem, but they recognized it as a system-wide problem. It's not just an issue of we don't have enough forensic beds. It's an issue of are we moving people through the civil unit fast enough, efficiently enough? Mm-hmm. Are the courts moving fast enough? Are people getting their cases resolved quickly enough? So they see it as more of a, which it is, it's a system. It's a large system with a lot of moving parts. It's not just the forensic unit that there's a problem with. So the state sort of sees it as this issue that can be solved by looking at all the individual moving parts, sort of incrementally. and changing the way we handle cases, changing the speed at which we handle cases, more so than just adding beds at the state hospital.
So through all of this, while the state might not concede everything, at least you're sensing some rethinking about how to deal with mentally ill people who are in a system. I mean, do you see that as a good thing?
There's some rethinking, yes.
Yeah.
But I also hear from people who work with the mentally ill on a regular basis that some people can't be restored, that there are some seriously mentally ill people out there who aren't getting the treatment they need, and they may not be able to be restored. And right now we're sort of looking at it through the lens of everyone can be restored, where everyone can be dealt with outside of the state hospital. I'm hearing that that's not always the case.
And if you can't be restored, what happens?
There are a couple of different things that can happen.
Paul Whitehead, I'm a supervising forensic psychiatrist and clinical director of the forensic unit.
You can either be placed in the civil unit indefinitely. You can be placed in the forensic unit indefinitely if you committed a serious crime.
I have a patient on my unit who's been here since 1997 on homicide charges that he was never able to restore to competency and was judged too dangerous to be released to the community.
Accused of committing a murder. Has not gone to trial for that murder.
And so what's the state waiting for? They're waiting for them to somehow miraculously now be restored to competency? I mean,
if they cannot be restored to competency, they will sit there. And if you have been sent to, if you have been accused of theft, for instance,
yeah,
and a judge says you're incompetent to stand trial and you go to the forensic unit, if you can't be restored to competency, the judge might order that you just be released back into the community and that the charges be wiped from your record. That's not going to happen if you've been accused of murder, but that very well might happen if you've been accused of a low-level crime that's nonviolent.
Seems like this is one of those stories that there's more to report on.
There's a lot more.
Yeah.
There is a lot more.
Whitney Evans, thanks.
Thank you.
More to Say is a production of KUER News. Doug Fabrizio is our host. Tim Schlover and Lee Hale edit the podcast. You can hear Whitney's original story about bed space at Utah State Hospital at KUER.org, and there's a link in our show notes. Thanks for listening.